Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No! And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Sugars, we have a special announcement before we get the show started. It's going to happen last minute. As you know, our show is hosted on Acast, the wonderful Acast. They are doing Staycast during all this corona. Although we're calling it a gay cast, but it's kind of like a Staycast live. So we're going to be taking over their Instagram today at 5 p.m. Pacific time. You can follow there, and we're going to be talking about, y'all know us, we'll probably have a little gay DD, but we're definitely going to be talking about Darcy's iconic moment this week. And kind of just, let's just start with the love life of Darcy Silva. Let's analyze that shit, y'all. So we'll be doing that today, going live on Instagram at 5 p.m. Pacific time. We're taking over their Instagram. So it will be, so you can follow us at 90 Day Gays, but also Acast for the stories. And I'll put that in the show notes so you can follow that as well. We'll see you today at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So that's 8 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, Lord.
Y'all, welcome to 90 Day Gays.
This is the 90 Day Gays. This is the bonus episode.
This is a bonus episode.
The more off of our normal topic we get, the more higher my voice goes.
Yes. This is the corona bonus.
This is the corona bonus. Y'all, we decided to give you something very different for us.
Y'all might hate it.
You might hate it. I kind of spearheaded this. It may be ridiculous, but what else? You got time. I mean, honestly, what else are you going to do? You going to go listen to Planet Money or some shit?
Planet Money.
What are you going to go listen to?
Carl and Kim giving you economy advice.
Honk and Tom in the morning.
Honk and Tom. Hey, get you kids. Welcome. Ha ha. Do you think any radio disc jockeys still say cats and kittens?
No one says that. She says that.
Who's she?
Carol Baskin.
Oh, no. I meant like they were like, hey, cats and kittens.
Casey Kasem said things like that, but he never said cats and kittens.
Casey Kasem.
No.
God,
no. That was Carol Baskin's sign off. No,
oh, that was
no
Carol
radio
Baskin.
DJ ever said that. Why have you already hijacked my idea into
actually kind of absurdity?
I can't hear myself. Turn me up.
I just kind of segued into what we're talking about.
I think I'm not high. There, that is a little better.
Yeah, it's fine.
I still sound a little hollow.
That's just the way your voice sounds, because you have no soul.
I hate you. Y'all, this bonus episode, now that I get to it, after being waylaid. No radio DJ said that.
I didn't remember.
That's Carol fucking Baskin, who killed her husband.
But it's a segue, because of what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, that's murder.
That's where we got the idea from this.
Y'all.
You're welcome.
This is called My Gayest Murder. Ooh. You've never listened to the show, so you don't know what it's called. Y'all, we're doing my gayest murder, like my favorite murder. But instead of stay sexy, don't get murdered, it's SSDG. Stay sexy, don't get gonorrhea.
Oh, okay. I like right. that.
Yeah,
I like
that's
that.
Something everybody can get behind.
This is a murder that's gay. It's really gay, 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 gay.
Y'all get your bracelets of SSDGG.
Boy, just rolls right off your mouth, doesn't it? Boy, just real, just good merch right there. Y'all. Cough into your elbow.
I don't have the corona, y'all. We've had days of alternating rain and sunny, and so everything bloomed. We both woke up with our eyes were swollen.
Come at us if you have allergies, and then it just gives you corona anxiety.
I need a shirt that says, fuck off, it's allergies.
Yeah, I do too. Put that on a face mask.
Fuck off, it's allergies. Y'all, this is my gayest murder, and we're here to talk about, there's nothing really gay about.
We are recording.
I hate you.
Just making sure.
I'm trying to get on a train of thought.
Yeah,
you
sorry.
Interrupted
me. I literally got panicked. I thought we weren't recording.
When are we ever going to be professional?
Never. Never.
Not until someone's doing it for us.
It's true.
Can I drink this and hold it and not spill it on the couch?
It's true. Poodles already.
Y'all, I'm drinking it. It's 5:21.
Is it 5:21?
It's 5:21 in the p.m.
It is. Okay, so tell
you've
them.
You've been shitting.
I'm not going to say
you've
what.
You've been shitting around.
I'm going to put the microphone down. You just talk.
Thank you. Now you're sitting over here and pouting. And you're on your phone. Get off your phone, you whore. Anyway, y'all, this is my gayest murder. And we're going to talk about gay murder. Now, murder's not really gay because murder doesn't have a sexual orientation.
True.
But you can be murdered as a gay person or you can murder someone as a gay person.
Yes.
But we wanted to basically say, you know, when you hear like true crime things and you're like, oh, that's really sad that someone like a gay serial killer or someone he attacked gay men. No, I saw this story and went, that's a gay murder.
It's a gay murder. Now, you could be a straight person killing another straight person, but if you're listening to musical theater, that's a gay murder.
It's a gay murder.
It's a gay murder.
Yeah, y'all. And you know what? It makes murder kind of bearable.
Bearable. So we're doing this the way they do, I kind of know about this.
Yeah, I asked you to kind of rewatch some source material. Because I'm going to tell you the story, but you can talk about source material. That's where I wanted to let you do stuff.
Okay. And so I have another question, too.
Y'all, we've talked all about this, as you can tell.
Is there anything that's a trigger warning for anything? Is there anything graphic for people in here?
No, unless you're grossed out by dead bodies.
Okay. There you go.
There's no assault. There's no rape or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
just
we're
letting
good.
People know.
This is rape. This is certified rape-free.
Good. That I like things that
Me
way.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I listen to like a lot of true crime stuff. I don't know. I'm not as much as I used to. But like as soon as he gets into rape, y'all, I have to just click it. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I don't enjoy
like sexual assault stuff is ugh. It's not something I enjoy. Now murder, y'all. I'm all about
murder,
it.
Murder, she like so
murder, she cried. Y'all, this is the story of the drag queen and the mummy.
The drag queen and the mummy.
Ooh. My gayest murder. This may not work at all. I don't give a fuck.
It might. I guess
y'all, we're in a plague. So you know what? You're going to listen.
I guess we can. That's true. We're going to listen. I guess, should we tell people if they did wanted to watch the source material before
Ooh,
we talk
yes.
about it?
Let's say, y'all, if you wanted to watch the source material, pause now, or don't pause until I tell you, but watch Paris is Burning.
It's
the
a documentary.
Documentary by Jenny Livingston, 1990, about the drag ball scene in New York
80s.
City in Harlem.
Basically, the show Pose on FX is based all on this documentary.
Sad, sad recreation, in my opinion. People loved that show. I liked season one better than season two.
I like some things about it, some things I don't.
I despise the acting. despised it. It was so bad.
We're not talking about that. Don't get on our soapbox.
But although I did like MJ Rodriguez.
Yeah, I do like them. Them, her. I don't know what pronouns.
You liked these. Her, I believe.
Okay.
You liked the show more than I did when it came out.
I haven't seen the second season. So I
there
will
you
say,
go. Good representation for you, community.
I want to say, too, that, yeah, it's on Netflix. It's only an hour long. It's like we're voguing and all that.
No, about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. So
Paris
check
is
it out
burning
on yep Netflix, y'all. You that'll should watch you, it anyway.
That, it's so good.
Just for your history.
The person we're going to be talking about, Dorian Corey, has a lot of great, great one-liners.
Yes.
She even defines, and that shade.
Yes.
Because, you guys, before there was RuPaul's Drag Race, before there was anything, before there was Madonna's Vogue, before there was anything, there were the drag balls in New York City.
And a lot of people don't know, Poodle and I just we kind of knew, and then we recently kind of discovered this when we did a lecture, that a lot of these drag balls, these have been going on since the turn of the 20th century.
Yes.
So, and the way it used to work is that people would have drag balls, and they would also celebrate, have a ball when someone, like coming out to society.
Kind of like a debutante ball.
Like a debutante mm-hmm ball. And it wasn't until like Prohibition and things happened in the 20s that, and 30s.
Fucking Prohibition. They ruined everything.
Where conservatism started happening in America, that people started saying coming out of the closet. That was never said. It was actually coming out to society as a homosexual was a good thing.
Yes.
We just
I did not
that
know that.
We just learned that. Yeah. In the like the 1900s and 1890s, you would come out and homosexuality was much more accepted than people think.
Especially pre-code movies and stuff like that, yeah.
Much more accepted in early New York, a lot more than, yep. But then people got religious shit up their ass and yep came down.
And y'all, you can love Jesus and be gay, and you can love Jesus and love gay people.
Yes, those people couldn't back then, but we know that now.
You can love Jesus and suck dick.
Jesus loves the little butt fuckers, all the fuckers of the world.
I love Jesus' attitude and his writings. I don't, sometimes he can be hot, sometimes not. I don't like that skinny Jesus. I like that buff Jesus.
I like that he can walk around with 12 men in loincloths. I'm here for that. And then one queer deer. All right, let's get to this.
Y'all, anyway, so I'll set the scene for you.
Okay.
I'll be really close to the microphone.
Okay,
in 1993, great. Lois Taylor was meeting two men in the apartment of her recently deceased friend, Dorian Corey.
Oh.
Who we knew from Paris is Burning.
Yeah.
After Dorian's death, Lois was helping sell off some of Dorian's clothes, and these men wanted to buy them for, like, Halloween costumes.
And she had... Y'all, we should press. So Dorian was a seamstress and had...
Yes.
She came from like the ball period where it wasn't about looking at
very
like
showgirl.
Vegas showgirl.
Yeah,
so
long,
amazing
and
costumes.
And she could sew. She actually went to Parsons School of Design.
Yes, she was fantastic seamstress.
Had her own size. And when Dorian died in 1993, by the way, you guys, I'm going to talk about these people who I'm going to mention. Almost everyone has died recently from AIDS-related complications.
Yeah.
It wiped out a whole generation.
Yeah.
You watch Paris is Burning and say, almost no one's alive.
This whole pandemic actually gives me just another level of empathy where we're like, who has it and stuff like
right
that.
Right. So you guys, they were trying to sell these clothes. Lois Taylor was her friend, also a drag queen.
Okay.
And basically, these men, they're like, oh, what's in this over here? A suitcase. And she's like, I don't know. I couldn't open it. And you guys, if you want to read the source material for this, there's a great article called, it's in the New Yorker, called The Drag Queen, or Why Did, here we go. The Drag Queen Had a Mummy in Her Closet.
And it wasn't Brendan Fraser.
He does not look good
although
these days.
His career
woo!
His career is dead.
Okay, y'all. So.
I had such a crush on him.
They,
wasted.
Encino Man.
Ooh. That was a homosexual awakening.
What was that?
Oh, my
Encino
God.
You're waylaying
so
me again.
Sorry.
I'm never going to get through this.
Sorry. Go ahead.
This was a bad idea. You're the worst person to do something like this with. Anyway, so... By the way, I laughed in the shower for 10 minutes thinking about if you can cream it, you can dream it.
Y'all.
I have not been more horrified by any one saying that you've ever said.
Coffee mugs are coming, y'all. Coffee mugs are coming.
That was our last episode of 90 Fiancé. Anyway, y'all, so getting back to the murder story.
Okay.
They were kind of like, people are going to be so annoyed. They're like, tell us what happened.
They're going to be like, my favorite murder girls are so much better than them.
They're like, they only take, these guys are taking 45 minutes just to get to the story. Anyway, so they're looking around in the house and they see this closet. They're like, why is this suitcase on the, it's so heavy. The drag queen's like, I don't know. I couldn't lift it. And so they pull open. They're like, what's in here? They open it. There's like a, first of all, the smell hits them.
Oh.
So guess what, y'all? It's a dead body.
Oh.
And they're like going through it. They open it up and there's like pieces of like saran wrap layered around it. Like someone's tried to really cover this dead body in a fetal position. And they finally rip it off and they see it is a dead body and they call the police. And it's wrapped in like a knit leather Naugahyde jacket. And there's all kind of weird like beer can tops that tell us when it was done. Because there was a certain time where they had these beer can pop tops that they didn't go. So they found this. So they called the police, obviously. They identified this man from his fingerprints.
Okay.
Because he had been in prison before. His name was Bobby Worley, a.k.a. Bobby Wells, and he had not been seen since 1968. So that body, y'all, had been 1993 now. That body had been in there like at least 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, Dorian's dead, y'all.
So while Dorian was filming Paris is Burning,
yes, there was a dead body. While Jenny Livingston, her whole film crew were in there was a dead body sitting there in a suitcase in a fucking Louis Vuitton.
Wow.
Not a Louis Vuitton, probably a Samsonite. Okay. But anyway, so I asked, who was Dorian Corey? Who was the leader of the House of Corey? And why was there a dead man in her closet?
I don't know.
Gong, gong, gong.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, y'all, we talked a little bit about the ball culture, but Dorian was kind of like the grand doyen. If you've seen the documentary Paris is Burning, she's the one, like, powdering at mostly a dressing table the whole time. She's doing her makeup as she's talking. She's like, well, you know what? I'm famous in some circles. I'm not like Elizabeth Taylor.
She's kind of like the, I guess the correlation would be, she's like the RuPaul on RuPaul's
yes.
Drag Race.
She's the RuPaul of that whole thing. Well, maybe a little bit older. Maybe she's like Lady Bunny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that just got really gay.
Yeah, it did.
it's my gayest murder.
My gayest murder.
Anyway, so drag balls, we talked just a little bit about. Dorian was kind of like the old school kind of drag queen where it was all the boas, big Vegas costumes. And then later it became things like, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race says, you know, executive realness, where people dressed like different types of society. Like you look like an executive. And if you really could pass as an executive, because these were usually gay men or queer men, then they were called gay. And they'd be identifying as gay and dressing up like an executive and trying to be real.
Yes, or military realness
right.
or whatever.
But this is before that time that Dorian was. And so it was all about like glamour, big gowns.
People were trying to be Marilyn Monroe
yes.
and Elizabeth Taylor.
And there's a great thing where she's like, I was more like trying to be Lena Horne.
No one wanted to be Lena Horne.
Y'all, if you don't watch the entire Paris is Burning, go on YouTube and go Shit That Dorian Says from Paris is Burning.
But watch it.
But watch the whole thing. It's such a great.
I love Lena Horne.
Yeah. Well,
fish gotta swim and birds.
But that's in a very specific version of Showboat. That's not. We're so gay, we know that there were three different versions of Showboat in a movie.
Man of mine.
But Lena Horne was the most appropriate because she's supposed to be
half black, half white.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all, so who was Dorian?
I don't know. You asked 5 minutes ago, we got talking about something.
This format is weird. Y'all, so she was born in 1937.
Okay.
In Buffalo, New York, on a farm, if you can imagine.
Wow.
In her hometown, like one of us would have done if we would have had the opportunity, she did window displays for stores, for department
stores. Which was a big deal, y'all.
Yep.
That really is happening less and less, but it used to be a very big deal.
Yeah, that was how people went in and bought shit.
Mm-hmm.
She came to New York City to study at Parsons,
okay,
School for Design, because she was going to be kind of a clothes designer.
Mm-hmm.
But then she got a job as the snake dancer in the Pearl Box Review, which was for African American drag queens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they toured all over. So she had her own company, Corey Designs. She performed weekly at Sally's 2.
Not 1, y'all. Not
the
Sally's 1.
The second stage.
Sally's 2.
But she was there for like almost 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, she performed there like weekly until like just a couple weeks before her death.
Oh, wow.
And she died at age 56 from AIDS-related complications. Mm. If you look at the Paris is Burning, where are they now? Everyone is like AIDS-related complications, you know, because AIDS wiped out a whole generation of people.
Yeah.
That's her.
Okay.
She's very, very calm. If you watch the documentary, you'll see it's all about, and that's reading. Shade started with reading. And when you read someone, you don't say they're ugly. You say, I don't have to say it because you know you're ugly.
It's very, the way she speaks, it's not, you would think violent or aggressive.
No, not at all. Yeah. She's very mannered. Everything is very much like a star of the 40s, like Rita Hayworth.
She's
everything
like a,
is like that.
It's like a living Mr. Rogers puppet.
But even gayer.
Even gayer.
Like Madam.
But Madam was shady.
Yeah. Yes. Who was that queen of the queen of Mr. Rogers' puppet?
Focus, Sybil. Focus.
You didn't know because you would have gone off.
It's true.
Anyway, you guys. So we were able to identify who it was. Bobby Wells.
Okay.
Bobby Worley, a.k.a. Bobby Wells, uh-huh, from his fingerprints, because, of course, he'd had a prison record.
What do we know about him?
Well, he had been shot in the head.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they said before, they think he'd been here for over 15, 20 years. He had been in Sing Sing prison for both burglary and assault.
Wait a minute. There was an actual prison called Sing Sing?
Sing Sing, yeah!
I thought that was a joke for like a joke prison. That's a real prison?
That's a real prison in New York!
Sing Sing?
Yes.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't in Sing Sing. Prison.
I feel like that's a little insensitive for the show, but that's okay.
I'm just saying.
I get you. So y'all, I can't believe you didn't know Sing Sing was real.
I thought it was a joke name. You know how it's like where people don't realize that Kleenex is the same thing as tissue. They just always called it Kleenex.
I don't think they're comparable, but that's okay.
Fine.
It's amazing. On a daily basis, what you reveal to me that you don't know shocks me and appalls me. Anyway, I often say that I just want to do schooling for you. Maybe we can do that, where I'll just tell you, you'll come in my living room and you'll just tell, and I'll tell you all the things you don't know.
I'm not paying you.
You'd have to. So y'all, Bobby Worley,
mm-hmm,
he'd been in prison. When he got out in the 60s, he lived with his brother after getting out of jail, and there was an issue with a woman he was seeing who was the next door neighbor, because he kind of like he basically roughed her up and kind of beat her up. So he's an abuser. He's a terrible person,
mm-hmm,
basically. And his brother's like, you need to leave or I'm going to call the police.
That's good,
so,
brother.
Anyway, they contacted, when they found out who it was, the police contacted his brother who he'd lived with and said, you know, how long has it been since you've seen him? And he's like, I haven't since he left my house. We just thought something bad had happened to him. And he's like, oh. He's like, yeah, he was that kind of guy.
Oh.
So, anyway, they ask, so did he ever, how do I say this? And the article uses words, it's not what we said. Did he ever keep company with transvestites?
Because y'all, so
we don't say that anymore.
We don't say that anymore. But trans people, even the people on Paris and Burning, they're people think they're drag queens, but probably most of them are now
most
trans.
Most of them are trans who have kind of assumed they either live as women.
Or they say they're gay men as drag queens. But anyway, they call themselves transvestites in the film.
But almost everyone says gay in the film as well, because that's what we also had to use. Yeah. So, and anyway, so when the brother is asked if Bobby ever kept company with mm-hmm. trans, he's like, oh yeah. That he's like, he used to all the time, like, go and solicit transvestites in town.
Because a lot of transvestites were sorry, it's hard for me to say the word, but I know we use it in the right term. They were ladies of the
sex
night.
Sex workers.
Ladies of the night.
Yeah, because even Paris is Burning talks about that. Yeah. Most of them are sex workers.
Yeah.
Because you can't normally pass as a job. Even Dorian says, these kids these days, they're working. They have jobs. You know, you live in New York, you gotta have a job.
It's true.
But she was referring to the fact that most of these trans women at the time would work as sex workers and would pass as female.
Yes.
Pose actually highlights that.
Yeah.
What's her name? And that with the James Vanderbeek
character. Pose highlights this too in a way.
In season two, yeah.
Yeah,
season
so I have two, seen that.
Season
seen
two, you guys, Elektra actually does. Someone passes out and they do put the guy's body in a trunk.
Kind of the way they did this. Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. And because one of the writers, Our Lady J, was obsessed with this story.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do that because I read it. Yo, I actually did research for this. It's the first time for everything. It's
probably the last.
It's going real well so far.
Real. It's riveting.
So, y'all, this is fun.
It is fun, actually.
How dare you?
I said it's fun.
Anyway, so the brother said, yeah, he would troll for transvestites all the time. And one night, he could see that Bobby, of course Bobby had a drinking problem. Bobby called him. The brother and said, "I was talking to someone and called someone Dorian."
Oh, really?
And he said, "No, this is your brother." So
you used the wrong name.
That's some shit when you call your brother thinking it's your transvestite girlfriend.
That's true. That's true.
That's some shit. So anyway, and also Bobby had a really bad history of beating up women.
Ah.
And so,
and y'all, a lot of times, a lot of trans people, I mean, it still happens now, but it happened even more. They would get beat up or harassed or even killed, but they wouldn't report it because
right,
the police
the cops wouldn't.
They wouldn't do anything back then.
So, you guys, so they know who it is. Now they have to figure out why. Why did Dorian have a fucking body of someone in his house?
I don't know.
In their house. And they had a couple of theories. Was this a burglar
uh-huh.
who tried to rob him? Or was this Dorian's boyfriend? Was this someone he was in a relationship with? Mm. Or was this a crime of passion?
Mm-hmm.
Something went wrong. And Pepper LaBeija spoke up to this.
Oh, yeah.
Who is
yeah.
in the... And said, I don't remember Dorian ever having... She had a husband. But she did not for a while. And she's like, but she had lots of lovers at the time.
Oh.
So we're never really sure of why this happened. We just know that there was this dead body and it's still unsolved, you guys. Do you have questions for me?
Oh, that's it. No, I was just listening. This was like story hour with Poodle.
I know, but y'all, this drag queen killed someone and put her in a closet.
But we don't know why. So it could have been. But
I think it was probably a crime of passion because we saw how
because they were together.
Killed Dorian was.
Yeah. So definitely they were together. Definitely they had a relationship. Yeah. It just wasn't like
one of the other theories was Dorian was such a mother to a lot of the other queens, and she would sew things for them. That he might have been a trick of someone she
That's
knew.
That's what I was going to say, because I think Dorian would
and
kill.
And like, you can keep it here.
And so what if Dorian didn't kill the person?
Exactly.
But someone else did.
Yeah. There was the thing, that Lois Taylor said that was taped to the body. That's not in the police report, mm-hmm. so it could have just been what Lois made up, because Lois is kind of an unreliable narrator. That's the one who found the body.
Mm-hmm.
That says, this man tried to rob me, so I shot him. Which I don't really believe.
Because really
why would you
it.
Do that?
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all.
But it is true. You got to think about, if you're a trans person in 1968, yeah. and even if you shot someone in self-defense,
right.
they would take you to mm-hmm. prison, you'd be gone.
And y'all, think about, too.
Especially a trans person of color.
Exactly.
Dorian Corey was black,
and
y'all.
And there's a great moment where Dorian's like, you know what? Because, you know, black people, she's like, we try to play at being glamorous. She's like, because you can't get ahead. She's like, and that's societal. Oh, it's so good, y'all. You have to watch this movie. Promise me you will all watch this movie. Not like you're going to say, I promise back.
No, but they might have.
I'll wait for you.
Someone just yelled out there, I promise, Poodle.
Anyway,
I don't think I have. So, Bobby, how old was Bobby Wells?
Roughly the same age as Dorian.
Okay. And in 68, was like 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And so out of all the other people in the ball circuit... Pepper LaBeige is the only one who said anything.
They interviewed people through the ball circuit and basically said no one had anything. They said she was a very regal lady, wasn't a mean person.
Mm-hmm.
She would shade you when you weren't around, kind of like me. Very yeah. kind.
Yeah. yeah.
But Dorian kind of had that was the most kind of had the most perspective as you watch from Paris is Burning. She had the most perspective about yeah. how drag queens yeah. were. She's like these young children these days, you know, they don't know what a ball is if it hit them in the head.
Now you do say that.
Yeah.
You talk like that a lot.
I feel of a kinship
they
with Dorian.
They should make a movie of this. This would be a good film.
I think they tried to make a musical out of it.
People make a musical of the worst things.
It wasn't good.
Who would play Dorian Corey? Well, hopefully someone trans. That would be nice.
Hopefully, yeah. Probably Billy Porter would do it, though, even though he's not trans. Let's be honest.
Maybe, because people... He's like fluid.
He'd be fluid just for the role.
I would want it to be... Someone trans, but you know what? Actually,
but
probably
no famous person.
If you watch Pose, probably Dorian Corey would be. Well, no, Bill. His character is not like Dorian Corey on
no,
the show.
No, but he's a name, honey. It's so sweet that you think they'd give a lead of a musical.
No, I'm saying like I was trying to tell them like who Dorian Corey was in the circuit.
Oh, there wasn't really, for Pose, there really wasn't a version of that. That's one of my problems with Pose. Everything is really polished. Well, if you watch Paris is Burning, y'all, it ain't polished.
Yeah, there's something that I don't love about Pose as far as the realistic is that everyone who is trans, but it's Hollywood, so a movie or film, they're all just pretty.
Very gorgeous.
And
they're all very feminine.
Part of the problem is for these... people is that they were not necessarily attractive nor passing as women at all. So they really stuck out.
Butch
like
Queen, first time at a ball.
It was hard for them in those day and age. So,
but it is Hollywood. My biggest problems with Pose had to do with they started focusing on the cisgender characters the most.
Oh.
Like Leroy, the black male.
Oh, did they start doing that in season two?
No, I stopped watching it. I couldn't. They did that so much in season one, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
They did.
Anyway.
I think, spoiler alert, I think somebody gets killed on season two of Pose.
I like it how we haven't even seen it. We're talking about
it. I think one of them does, like, violence.
Anyway. No, there is one of them.
Beat or something.
No, and there's a big funeral, and there's this huge, like... She's murdered, and then there's this big musical episode. It's actually good. I think that's season one, though. Someone's going to come at us and tell us
what
it is.
We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Andrea Simpson's going to be like, bitch, I know.
Anyway, y'all, watch Paris is Burning. That's all I have to say.
Yes.
But this has been my story, The Drag Queen and the Mummy. My gayest murder. You've never listened to my gayest murder. Right now, actually, you guys.
I've actually saw a live show of my favorite.
Really?
Murder. Yeah. I saw a live show of it. It was great.
They're fantastic.
They are very funny.
You guys, right now.
I was at the Biltmore Hotel, and there was a murder in the Biltmore Hotel.
Oh. We're going to do something.
Something. We're just doing everything different. It's like we're topping.
I say keep it loose and keep it tight.
Well, nothing's tight on him. Actually, by the end of this quarantine, you'll be brand new.
I mean, Sister Mary Poodle, as we've said woo-hoo. Before.
Y'all, we're just going to take a real quick break.
Be back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
You guys, I was just looking on the internet, as I'm wont to do, not for porn this time, but I just, like, Googled gayest murder. And
oh, when you were researching?
When I was researching. And what popped up was this thing on Wattpad called The Most Gayest Murder Ever! And evidently, Wattpad is something that people can just publish shit on, and some kind of like 13-year-old kid will read it and say, "This is what I love, Mama."
Oh, it's like LiveJournal.
Kind of. It's like the
Come at me if you were on LiveJournal. That was big deal.
Yeah.
You were.
I gave up all my, like, it's gone now, but I was like, wrote poems on LiveJournal.
Did you have a large following or no?
No. No one followed me. It was like all sad shit.
The girl that I used to work with in my day job, she just wrote like Buffy the Vampire Slash all day.
Wait, LiveJournal was around that long?
Yeah, in the early 2000s.
You guys, so this is called, are you there?
Yeah.
The Most Gayest Murder Ever.
And literally, y'all, it's spelled EVVVEEERRRRRR. Ever.
So, you guys, this is published
by ever.
Someone named Unknown Stoner.
With a picture of somebody with pretty lips.
Now, here's the thing about this person. I'm going to assume this is not satirical, because all the other stories by this person was written in the same kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say way, I mean not good punctuation, and it sounds like a 13-year-old girl.
I was just looking at this, and it's like a total run-on sentence, and they don't even space
no
after their periods.
No one knows any grammar, y'all. There's no space in the periods. I'm going to sound like a 50-year-old woman here. But anyway, I'm going to read this in the voice that I assume it was written.
Okay.
And anyway,
Poodle's gonna read the first part,
and we're gonna alternate parts.
And I'm reading the
second.
This
is kind of like my dad wrote a porno, y'all. This is kind of like
very short. It's not that long.
Yeah, it's not long. All right, here we go. Chapter one. You guys ready? It's called Lèvres Ours. Lèvres Ours. I guarantee you, this person did not know how to pronounce that.
And what's that mean?
Bare lips.
Bare lips.
I was gonna get to that, but thank you for ruining it.
Well, you're welcome.
Here we go. Chapter one of my most gayest murder ever. Hi, my name is Dustin Smith, and this is how I solved the most gayest murder ever.
Jesus.
Sorry. Me and Johnny, my boyfriend, no commas. Me and Johnny, my boyfriend, went to a hotel to stay 10 weeks there so I can write my novel. 10 weeks?
So he's a detective, so it's like...
I guess you just stay 10 weeks to write a novel. Anyway, going back. I didn't know what the title or the plot or the story was going to be about. Typical. Johnny and I stayed at the Lèvres Ours in West Hollywood. It's French for bare lips.
Okay.
When me and Johnny walked in, Johnny and I, it was huge and amazing. I signed us in. I don't know why that's necessary. They told us our room number. I don't know if I can do this. They told us our room number, A-R-E, was room 606. Yeah.
Jesus.
That's how big it is. I don't get that. I guess that's some really bad joke. They told us it's on the 13th floor, which they don't have. There's no 13th floor.
Oh, there's no 13th. Okay.
Me and Johnny looked at each other. Obviously, we were scared. Then we went to the elevator. After we went to the rooms and unpacked and unsettled everything, we went to the pool, which was on the second floor. Why is this necessary to say?
Is this just a journal?
No, I don't know. Who gives a shit what floor the pool is on? While we were swimming, we saw Troy. What? Sorry. While we were swimming, we saw Troy Sivan, and we were such fangirls.
I don't know who that is.
Troye Sivan. Yeah, he's a big gay. He was a YouTube star for a while. He's like Twinkie.
I don't have time for YouTube stars.
We took a bunch of pics together. And then I went back to my room and started getting to write my book. So, y'all, you go to swim, and then you see Troye Sivan, and then you decide to go write your novel.
Exactly. You're like, whoa, inspiration.
First, I needed a title, something that was scary, since I'm writing a horror book. Then I thought maybe, God, Cuchillo del Arco Iris, which is Spanish for rainbow knife. And then I thought maybe a gay serial killer. in Mexico who comes to America and goes to Washington to kill the government and move to Canada. Yeah, good luck killing the government.
I'm so angry at you for making me read this right now. This is so stupid.
Right when I was about to turn the lights off. Sorry. Right when I was about to type the lights turn off. Oh, my God. Then that's a sentence, by the way. Right when I was about to type the lights turn off. Then there was a text from my boyfriend and said that there was a killer in the hotel. Again, I have no clue. Then I heard a knock and then I heard my boyfriend say it was me. So then I opened it and I let him in. Again, this is just recounting of what happened. Then he said, what do we do?
There's so many thens.
I told him, let's call the police. And then we're gonna call the hotel and ask them what we're going to do. After we called the police, we called the hotel, but they went and picked up. Then we got a phone call. I answered it, and it was the hotel. And they said to lock your doors, stay calm, hide, and then we will tell you when to get up. After 4 hours later, the cop showed up, which was wired.
I think that's supposed to be weird. I think that's supposed
which
to be
weird.
Which
was weird.
Which was wired. I'm going to say that from now on.
Why would the cop show up 4 hours later? No question mark. Then we heard a knock on the door. I asked, who's there? Then the police say, open up now. I opened the door, and the police came in here with guns. Then my boyfriend screamed. They asked us, where are your parents? I told them to forget. I forgot to tell my
parents.
When I got my iPhone out, obviously it's important he has an iPhone. When I got my iPhone out, the police officer said, that's not going to work. Then they told us that someone put the dead government bodies in the empty swimming pool in the hotel pool, and they wrote glitter in the walls, Cuchillo del Arco Aris. I have no fucking clue what that means.
Let's diagram that sentence, shall we?
They told us that someone put the dead government bodies.
They put the bodies in an empty swimming pool.
And the hotel pool.
So there's an empty swimming pool in the hotel pool.
Besides the one they've already
swum in. So there's a pool in the pool.
Yes.
Just so we know. That is a pretty fancy, literally a pool. It's like a donut, but a swimming pool.
And then they wrote in glitter on the walls. They had a lot of glitter.
What walls?
Cuchillo del Arco Iris. Rainbow knife.
Which walls? The walls of the empty swimming pool?
I believe the walls of the empty swimming pool.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I gasped. And then they looked at me and asked me, what? Why are you so shocked? Then I told them I was writing a book about a Mexican guy killing the government and then moving to Canada. And the book title was Cuchillo del Arco Iris. They all gasped. Okay, so this is next part is you.
So this guy basically is kind of like a murder sheep, kind of like an Angela.
I don't even know. I swear to God, though, y'all, I think this is real because all the others are really like serious.
So. Kind of like an Angela Lansbury, but also kind of like, I guess, not Encyclopedia Brown, but more like Encyclopedia Bottom.
Yes.
All right. Come at me if you read Encyclopedia Brown.
Read it, you whore.
Okay, so chapter 2.
You can choose whatever voice you need to write. Okay. I just did it in a Twinkie voice.
Thank you. Chapter 2, Cuchillo del Arco Iris. So the cops were suspicious. Then they were going to take me away for questioning. But then the lights were turned off. So, clearly, it was completely dark. It usually is when all the lights are turned off. Then all of a sudden, my boyfriend was gone. It's capital G, y'all. Capital G.
Y'all, the grammar of this is atrocious.
The cops said, what the heck?
Where I guarantee you a cop didn't say what the heck.
Where did he go? Then I looked at his name tag, and it said, Jake.
I didn't read this far. I didn't know this would go this way.
Then I said, Jake, what if the killer took him? Then he said, well, maybe he thought your boyfriend was cute. Then he chuckled. Then he looked at me, and then he stopped. Then he said, well, if the killer did take him there, if the killer did take him, either they're hiding in the hotel or maybe going to Canada. Then I said, let's find him. Jake told me to stay here. I was so worried. Then I thought I could trust the police. Then after that, I locked the doors and watched TV while playing on my phone. Y'all, maybe the cop left. We didn't get that really from the sentence structure. But anyway, did they go on to say, which was weird because my mom called with a question mark?
Because my mom called.
Then I thought the police was lying to me because my
phone was lying to me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Then I thought, was the police lying to me because my phone works fine? Not a question mark. Then I heard a knock on the window.
Ooh, very nice.
After I opened the blinds, it was Johnny. And then I screamed, Johnny!
That's not set off in quotes or anything, y'all.
I was scared because he was in the 13th floor.
Ooh-oh.
He was in, y'all. He was literally in the 13th floor.
Inside the wall.
Inside the walls, I guess. He was in the 13th floor, but then I realized there was a balcony.
Okay.
Then I said, what are you doing there? Then he said, I don't know. I just remember me being unconscious when I heard that your killer is real. So when he heard the killer, he was unconscious when he heard it.
This could have been shortened by just learning how to do set off quotes.
Exactly.
And understanding not then he said.
Then when I was about to let him in, a pink glittery hang.
What is happening?
Covered Johnny's mouth. I don't know what a hang is.
I don't either.
Then he slowly disappeared. And then I heard a loud thump. Then I saw Johnny come back and I asked him, what the heck was that? I threw him off the roof.
What?
I don't know why they threw them off the roof, but they did.
Pow!
Yahoo! Then I came out and looked over the balcony, but he was gone. Then I turned around and looked at him, and the killer had a rainbow mask and had a rainbow shirt and pants also with glitter. He had a knife, and on that knife was a dead Jake the officer. Y'all,
I don't know what's happening.
There's two other parts of this, but I guess people are going to have to go find it. Where are we reading those two or no?
Yes.
Oh, we're reading this whole thing. Okay.
There's only four parts.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is part three.
Oh, this is short.
Chapter three.
They ran out of fuel.
The end?
It literally says the end question mark.
As I saw the killer and the dead officer.
Okay, I just want to say, this is a chapter. Y'all, it's just basically one paragraph. That's all kids can write for a chapter.
As I saw that killer and that dead officer, I tried to run away, but the killer caught me. In a deep voice, he said, I got a surprise for you. The killer lift up his mask, and then I saw that it was Johnny.
Johnny was a killer who he just threw off the roof.
I gasped, and then he said, yes, I'm the killer. I then asked, why?
Why?
He then said to me, you forgot our anniversary.
R spelled A-R-E.
Stop!
I don't think English is their first language.
I don't care. It's no excuse. Then he kissed me. That was a quick resolution,
They're
y'all.
Like, yeah.
And so obviously bygones are bygones. People are dead, but who cares?
Who cares?
Then he kissed me, and while he was kissing me, he stabbed me. Wow, y'all, that was whiplash. And then he kissed me, and then while he's kissing me, he stabbed me. Then he said, "Got ya."
Wow.
I said, "What confused?" Then everyone came out. Then he said it was a prank. Then I said I was bleeding. It's just a pack of blood. This is such a meta theater experience.
Have you ever seen
the movie Reindeer Games, where it's like one thing, it's a terrible movie, like one thing happens and like you're like, what is the real reason? Then we all laughed. Then he said I did this because I wanted to get you back. Also, I wanted you to have inspiration for your book. Like you are book. Then after we cleaned up, Johnny went to bed, and all night I was typing my book. Then I finished it. I went to bed, and me and Johnny snuggled all night.
And then chapter four, which is another
epilogue.
Yeah, chapter four, which is another paragraph, just is titled, Not So Quick.
They used to call me that in college.
Yeah. There goes Not So Quick. Hi, boys. Okay. The next morning, I talked to some book publishers. Let me just contact them. The next morning, I talked to some book publishers, and they said they'll publish it and asked me all three questions.
You obviously read a novel in a night.
They asked me all these questions, and then a month later, literally, that's how the sentence ends.
And then a month later, period.
Month later, period. My book came out, and everyone loved it. We had a huge book release party at the hotel.
This same hotel. Must be the only hotel in town, y'all.
It's true. Then, while me and my boyfriend were... Did Avery write this? I bet me and Omar.
Me and Omar.
Then, while me and my boyfriend were having a good time, the lights switched off.
Uh-oh. They're having a good time, y'all. They're fucking...
And then I said, Johnny, is this another prank? By the way, prank is capitalized.
Obviously, it's like it's German. Then he, so we're capitalizing nouns.
And then he said, no, very confused. Then everyone ran to the rooms. While we were in the rooms, we heard
snock.
We heard snock on a balcony. Then I checked to see who it was. Then it was someone wearing an Obama mask holding a gay American flag.
There's a gay American flag?
It's where you, the stars and stripes are the rainbow. The stripes are the rainbow.
Oh.
But inside are the stars.
I get it.
You know what? Obama would hold would. A gay book. He likes gay people. Anyway, so where was I? Holding a gay American flag. I opened it, and then he picked me up and threw me over the balcony, and then I landed on a soft mattress. Because there was a mattress.
Y'all, I'm like getting whiplash here.
And then... I threw a bucket of fake blood to make it look like I died. Oh, didn't I tell you? I'm pranking him back.
You got him!
After I heard him cry and yell, no! I told everyone on the walkie-talkies.
He's had enough.
He had enough. Then everyone came out of their hiding spot and yelled, surprise!
Surprise!
Then he started laughing and he said, this is payback. For when I pranked you? I said, yeah. And then we both laughed again, and we lived happily ever after. Epilogue, I sucked his dick. The epilogue was me, y'all. That
y'all,
was better written.
I promise. I think that was real.
Well,
I honestly think that was real.
People get on drugs and they do things, Poodle. And I think this person did things. That's what I think happened.
So, y'all.
But I think we're never going to get those 10 minutes back, ever. Wow.
I just.
That was Faith Tooth. So, if you're.
I'm glad we did Gayest Murder Ever.
If y'all want us to read some of your writings, we won't. So, not after that.
They better be that good.
They better be that good. This was Gayest Murder Ever.
This was Gayest Murder Ever, y'all. No, that's not gay. This is my gayest murder. I want to throw some of you so bad.
You called it Gayest Murder Ever.
That's
first.
The story.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
This is, yes, y'all.
This episode has been called My Gayest Murder.
So, we tried something.
My Gayest Murder. We tried to blend true crime with our show. I don't think it worked.
I don't think it worked either, but we had fun.
We had fun.
And regardless, you should watch Paris is Burning. That is great.
Yeah. Y'all should watch that shit.
So we'll
and watch Cold Justice
so this
on
comes
Oxygen.
Up on our regular feed, right? Yeah.
Yes.
This is our regular, so y'all.
On Friday.
You can still tune in to all of our other stuff. We're going to be keep on doing 90 Day. We're going to be doing on April 20th. We'll have, then they're doing 90 Day What Now? So we've got.
Oh, right. No, Quarantine Edition.
Quarantine Edition.
Y'all, this Saturday, we're having our watch and chat.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Netflix, you guys, at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
That's when we're starting. Is that 5
p.m.? We're starting. We are watching The Breakfast Club.
We're watching The Breakfast
Club. Because this whore. This filthy, disgusting, disease-ridden whore has never seen it.
Which, you know what?
Y'all, you had to actively avoid that movie.
Isn't it, though, such a good thing that I have not seen it now?
No.
Now we
no,
have
it's not.
Now we have an event for it.
Nope. Nope. You know what? It's serendipity, and it's me rubbing your nose in your feces.
I think I'll probably have to watch this one at my house, because otherwise you're just going to yell at me through the whole film.
Nope. You're watching it here.
If I've got corona,
you're breathing my air.
Oh, Jesus. We'll see about that.
Y'all, we're watching The Breakfast Club. So
we're going to watch that on
Saturday.
If
you don't have Netflix, find some way to download it illegally. I don't give a shit.
Or you can just start the movie when we say it's going to be on our live feed.
And the Sissy Squad, y'all.
Sissy Squad. So join the Sissy Squad for that. And I think, let's see, we've got merch, Tiger Queens, all that's going. There should be another, maybe when this comes out, the episode of Tiger Queens will have, Tiger King would have dropped, so we're going
to
recap
and
that.
And y'all, we're about to, come at us on Patreon, we're about to record our 90 Day Gays, this is Before the 90 Days, Season 2, Episode 7.
Jesse
and Darcy and Crazy Ricky, y'all, with Jimena, who otherwise known as Sloppy Seconds.
This is the Jesse and Darcy breakup season. I have to say, it's been good. It's so
riveting.
If you have not seen it, even if you don't listen to our Patreon, to the Gaytreon,
you need to watch it.
You should watch it. It's on YouTube or Hulu, because, boy, you have such an understanding, a deeper understanding of Darcy.
Yep.
You get it. So be sure to check that out. And I think that's all that we needed to talk about. We appreciate when you leave a review. 5 stars, you put Keep Going Queens. Let us know on our social media what you thought of this episode at 90 Day Gays. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We appreciate that shout out.
And, y'all, this bonus episode is for y'all and the Corona Bonas. If you're knee deep in it, and your kids are screaming, this is for y'all, and this is just a little love for y'all, and y'all can keep going.
You can keep
You'll keep going. They got through it in 1918, and you'll get through it now.
I will say, too, for the Gaytreon, you know, normally everything is the same on the $5 tier, y'all, so basically you pay $5, you get everything, including the watch-alongs. I will say for some of you, just kind of as a treat, but also we've revamped our watch-along where it's edited for your pleasure. So next week, we are going to put out that watch-along. We're going to put that as a public for free.
Ooh.
So everybody can watch that.
Yo, you need to thank us for that shit. That's blood, sweat, and tears.
30 minutes for your pleasure, just for y'all to see it, and also just to give you something.
One last thing. I know this will go out on Friday, but happy Passover.
Happy Passover.
And y'all, if the Jews can survive slavery in Egypt for thousands of years, we can get through a fucking pandemic, y'all.
We can get through a fucking pandemic.
We can get through it.
And on that, y'all, we will see you next time. I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lighting designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your
caboose. Men flock to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.